Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. We're back. We're back, everyone.
Yeah, we're relaunching.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're back.
What?
Christopher.
Am I? Who am I?
Christopher, wake up. Christopher, wake up. Wake up.
Wake up. Wake up, Christopher.
Chris. We're
Hello?
Back. This is episode number 168, technically.
What are we doing?
This is March 13, 2022, just in case. We're brothers or geeks. We talk about geeky things sometimes. We're back. We're talking about geeky stuff. Welcome to the podcast.
Look at me. Am I the only one? Look at how much I've aged since we last podcast. Look at that. That is hideous.
You think you're old?
I mean, you did like move, and you've been like doing a lot of physical labor, so it's taking its toll on your body.
Look at my hair. Look at what's left of my hair. It is
very white.
The pandemic fucked us all.
Yeah.
You two look glorious. It's like you haven't aged a day.
Wow, that's very nice of you to say.
On the other hand, look like I have been through.
My prediction is this:
meat grinder.
Patrick will start to go gray about June.
I am.
Patrick is going to start to go very gray.
I have little grays here and there, and I'm starting to get it like back here.
Did you guys see this? I have like a.
Oh yeah,
gray, like,
strip.
Because I have a scar right under here, but I have a gray like spray. Oh, it's like my rich. If you look at Richard Madden. He has like a curl of gray right in the middle of his hair.
That's nuptial planning right there. That's what that is.
We haven't the stress of wedding planning hasn't like we haven't had any like blow ups or fight or whatever. That's something we could talk about in my personal life that's happened since it wasn't recorded in 6 months.
I got engaged.
I got engaged, brothers. You guys know this, but I got engaged.
Yeah. Podcast listeners, Andrew got engaged.
That's
and
a big
I'm trying to pay for a wedding, so if you want to like Venmo money,
sponsor. Hey, we're looking for sponsors for the website. So in the podcast. So if you want to sponsor the podcast, please write a big check right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So
very expensive year for all of us.
So I mean, we haven't talked in a while, so we have like just a smattering of things that we could discuss.
Hold on. Listeners, you got to understand. As brothers, we talk all the time. We talk all the time. We haven't recorded a podcast.
We haven't talked for public consumption in a while.
I'm going to like scroll up on our text chain a little bit and see like what. Okay, the last thing that like happened this week that I feel like could bring us all back is Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. We all watched that. There's a little bit of a discussion here because I think it looks great. I think it's interesting. I think that Disney Plus's Star Wars is some of the best Star Wars since Disney purchased Star Wars. And I am excited for this, but there's also like a lest we forget. He is from the worst trilogy of movies, and so I'm hoping Ewan McGregor is amazing, and he is the best part of those movies. But he's also part of the worst. He's also part of the worst Star Wars.
This is perfect because Andrew is such a fanboy.
He's such a fanboy.
Everything is golden and beautiful in Star Wars. This is awesome. Well done, podcast host, for framing it that way.
Yeah.
Andrew, take it away.
I agree 100% that the prequel trilogy, episodes 1, 2, and 3, are the weakest Star Wars we've ever had.
And he elevates the material. I'm sorry. He
elevates the entire material. And the reason why I am hopeful for this series.
I'm hopeful. Exactly what
you said, because Ewan McGregor is A-list. He is compelling. He can carry any project he is in.
Right.
What will be interesting to see, and I have to attribute this thought to a TikToker, a Star Wars TikToker that I follow. Her name is Jay Stubbs. She does a lot of pop culture commentary. She's great. She actually hosted like a red carpet thing for TikTok for the Batman. So she's like, she's a great TikToker about for pop culture. She brought up the idea that Obi-Wan has always been a side character. He was a side character in Luke's trilogy, and he was a side character in Anakin Skywalker's trilogy. What will they do, or how will his characterization translate to being the center of a story? Like, what will that do for the story? And that's an interesting question.
The side character, if she used that phraseology, side character, that is a young person's lack of understanding of the original trilogy.
Okay.
I mean, he is not a side character. That is to diminish the role that Obi-Wan has in the original trilogy. He is a defining figure of the original trilogy. Mm. That scene where he fights Darth Vader and then allows himself to be turned into pure force energy is exactly what spurs Luke on.
Yeah, but it's Luke's story that we're watching.
Of course it's Luke's story. So but Obi-Wan is not a side character.
Well, we're going to be watching Obi-Wan Kenobi's story rather than Luke or Anakin's story.
Mm.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is, he is Qui-Gon Jinn's apprentice for the first half or two-thirds of, it's Qui-Gon Jinn's story.
Well, that's,
the, of the Phantom Menace.
That, yeah, Phantom, Phantom.
Kenobi has the fantastic climactic duel with Darth Maul, which is the best part of the prequel trilogy.
That's part of the problem with the Phantom Menace is that there really isn't a main character. If you were to say it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, he vanishes from the film for a good 45 minutes in the middle of the movie. If you're saying it's Anakin Skywalker, he's not introduced until 45 minutes into the movie. If you're saying it's Qui-Gon Jinn, the movie ends without the main character dies. And it's like, who is the main focal point? Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah,
he doesn't have an arc. I mean,
he has no arc. He has no arc.
The problem with Phantom Menace is Jar Jar is the most.
Jar Jar is the takeaway from Phantom Menace. Jar Jar. I mean, honestly, think about it. What character had the most impact on popular culture from that movie?
And Jar Jar Binks was like he was totally afraid and then becomes brave.
He has the arc.
He becomes brave and fights goes to fight the he stands he becomes General Jar Jar at the end.
His first movie. Legitimately, is he the only character in the Phantom Menace that has an arc?
It's like
something and changes.
It's his planet that's being affected. He has a giant arc. Oh my god. This makes Phantom Menace worse.
Does Padme have an arc? I don't think she does.
Not really. I mean, she's just trying to protect her planet and she's
of the whole time.
Yeah.
She always is a strong leader. Qui-Gon Jinn is always the consummate Jedi.
Well, and then
Kenobi is always the apprentice.
The whole like switcheroo thing
is always a 10-year-old little shit. If they made one simple change to the Phantom Menace, if they had made him 12 instead of 9, Anakin would have been a much more believable and likable character.
Well,
he's just such a weird little shit.
Make him
9 years old.
Make him a teenager, like shit. Like Luke. Luke doesn't become a Jedi until he's mid 20s, right? And it's like make him someone who can actually act, someone who can like hold a scene together and like isn't a whiny little like teenager who's like someone who's happy to be.
He's got to be emo. That's part of what that character is about, right? So he's got to be emo.
We're on a tangent.
Andrew, you're exactly, the framing of this is that Obi-Wan, this is what we have for Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of
stuff that I've sort of watched but haven't watched it all because there's so much Star Wars content that Dave Filoni has done with the Clone Wars and with now Mandalorian and Boba, like Book of Boba Rebels. Fett and Rebels. Rebels, a lot of stuff with Rebels with, hey, guess what? Darth Maul didn't die. So, and then
that's in the Clone Wars. Darth Maul shows back up in the Clone Wars.
And the and then Darth Maul and Obi-Wan have like another duel in Rebels on Tatooine.
Is it Clone Wars where he's in the spider legs?
Yes.
Clone Wars, he's in the spider legs. And then
By the time the Clone Wars wraps up, Maul has conquered. He's the leader of Death. He's conquered Mandalore.
Mandalore, yeah.
And Ahsoka comes to Mandalore with a division of clone troopers to liberate Mandalore.
With what's her name?
Sabine Wren.
Yeah, the person who's live action. Yeah, the person who's live action played by Katie Sackhoff. That's right.
She voiced the character for the Clone Wars.
So,
the show's going to pick up. It's 10 years after Luke's 10 years old.
We see one shot of him sitting on top of the thing, like pretending to fly a starship, which I loved.
Or a pod racer.
Very.
Yeah, because the Hutts love pod racing. It's one of those.
It's true.
One of those blood sports that totalitarian, dictators love to distract.
I'm excited about seeing him on screen again. The character's great. I agree with you on all those fronts, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the nature of the story, and what he's gonna do, because he's on Tatooine, keeping a lookout over Luke.
Yeah.
I mean,
what is he doing? He's gotta lie low. He doesn't want to attract attention to himself.
Well, the hint is in the trailer. It says, we're hunting Jedi, and the Jedi cannot just sit idly by and watch bad stuff happen. So we just have to wait for them to screw up and reveal themselves, because they their order. So that's an interesting concept. We're gonna see Obi-Wan is, yes, lying low, but he's probably gonna have to he's gonna help someone, and then these Sith enforcers call them something
Inquisitors.
They're not Sith.
That's why Rebels is because the Inquisitors are a staple. They're the villains in Rebels. They are not Sith. They're dark force users, but Sith has a
The guy with the windmill lightsaber.
Yeah. He's an Inquisitor. They are dark Jedi recruited by Vader specifically to hunt other Jedi.
Well, and then
Jedi who have embraced the dark side, but they're not technically Sith.
I'm the only one who played Jedi Fallen Order, right? The video game, and those are the main villains of that game. Is Inquisitors. And you get into some crazy boss fights with some Inquisitors, and the lightsaber fights with those guys are brutal. That game is a Dark Souls with Star Wars type of thing, and it is so hard. One of the hardest games I ever played. Absolutely one of the most challenging.
I don't want to have my nuts crushed trying to be a Jedi. Nut crushing. It's not enticing to me to run around as an apprentice Jedi and get my dick stomped every 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, you have to be on your video game A game, otherwise you will get some stormtrooper will just blast you in the back of the head while you're fighting his homie. It's just so brutal.
That's not enticing to me at all.
You just want to mow down those dudes.
I want the power fantasy. That's why playing as the Master Chief is the best.
But
you can handle an entire army of Covenant as the Master Chief. It's awesome.
Here's another tangent we're going on, and I have a reason for going on this tangent. But the reason why I like those kind of games, I definitely can get frustrated when they're so hard. But we're playing this really hard game, Elden Ring, right now, and once you overcome the dudes that are so hard that you've been banging your head against the wall for 10 tries and you finally beat them, it feels so much better feels so much more like you achieve something finally. That's all I want to say about that. And then we can go back to our Star Wars conversation.
I can say that my time in Monster Hunter has prepared me for Elden Ring, because Monster Hunter is at least learning it initially, brutal 40-minute fight that you absolutely can lose.
Yeah.
And I have learned through all of my play of Monster Hunter, which I love, that it's so amazing when you finally take the monster down.
Yep.
After going after it and figuring out the moveset and all of that. And so Elden Ring is, you know, those are on similar levels in terms of the time and effort and care that you have to take down the boss.
You can't just stand there and mash buttons and hope that you'll succeed. You have to roll away, you have to block, you have to have to time your, you know, heal up when you need to. Can't heal all the time. Yeah, sorry. Obi-Wan.
When is that supposed to come out, Andrew?
May 25th, the weekend, the Monday before Phoenix Fan Fusion, Phoenix Comic Con.
Oh.
I'm hyping that. I'd actually just bought my full weekend pass for Phoenix Fan Fusion.
So
it won't be super spreader events. We're continuing to push vaccinations on the Brothers Geek podcast.
Yes, get vaccinated, get boosted.
Yep, all the things. I will likely. So, but yes, May 25th, Wednesdays. Disney Plus drops content Wednesday, so it'll run for 6 episodes starting May 25th.
Are all these comic book conventions calling themselves Fan Fusions now because San Diego Comic-Con sued and won? Yes. And they're because they're the only Comic-Con?
Yes.
I don't know if they've won, but they're definitely litigating it against everything else, saying this is our brand. Smaller conventions can't fight the litigation.
So they just call it Fan Fusions now.
They just we're just going to change the name.
Granted, comic book conventions, quote unquote, have become less about comic books and more about fandom in general, anime, TV shows, movies and video games, and even Dungeons and Dragons. When I took Hannah to this LA fan fest, we found some Dungeons and Dragons booth and we bought some dice, and you know, there was minis and stuff. So I mean, there's all that stuff now that is the Holy Grail. Hannah and I even look for the Holy Grail. So
San Diego was transitioning.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a comic. All the years that we went, it had already the comic book stuff, which was the origin of the Holy Grail quest.
Yeah.
So that we could stay connected to comics, because it started as a comic book convention. So
right.
Even 12, 15 years ago, we were lamenting the transition. So
I mean, dude, we knew that the landscape had changed when the focus of the convention became the announcements and trailer drops.
Hall H stuff,
When it became the 13-year-old, and I mean, fandoms are fandoms. We can embrace things or not, but we knew the landscape had changed when the 13-year-old girls were pestering their mothers and their mothers wanting to go to Comic-Con for the chance to meet Robert Pattinson.
Great thing.
Or see him in person. Embrace the fandom. It made it harder for hardcore, dumbass nerds, comic nerds like us to get tickets.
Yep.
But so we lamented that. But the fact that fandom has opened up so much more, and now it's like there's a Comic Con for everything. I mean, Supernatural Con was a thing before the pandemic.
There was one reason, Andrew, that I bought our tickets to the special San Diego Comic Con. One reason. One reason only, which is to get the opportunity early to buy San Diego Comic-Con tickets for this summer. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say over the time that I've been going to conventions too, that there has been a lot more cosplaying. Like, cosplaying used to not be as big of a thing, and now it's like very big thing, like very popular to cosplay. Even just a
Dude.
simple cosplay of about buying a jumpsuit that looks like Iron Man and putting it on, which I think is the laziest cosplay you could do.
Well, check this out. So Phoenix Fan Fusion's happening in
Sometimes it's
May.
about cost, Patrick. Sometimes it's
I
about
understand.
cost.
I understand. I understand.
Ashton is already planning at least two cosplays. She's gonna go as she is a Sith, and she's gonna go as her pirate cosplay.
Yes.
Sure.
Betsy is also planning on she is planning on at least two cosplays. She's going to go as a dark side slave Leia,
You
and I
know,
think
you
she's planning on
know,
going as a gender bent Loki as well. She wore it to
Yeah.
Resonance.
I saw pictures of that. That looked good. That looked good.
I love it, dude. Told channel your create. I mean, Betsy loves to make her own shit.
That,
Ashton buys
right.
things and likes to style stuff, so she's not like a crafty kind of
I
person.
am I am all for I'm all for the
Lane of
making and the buying,
creativity.
right.
Well, yeah, whatever lane of creativity you're gonna
Yeah.
fall into,
Yes.
just go for it. I don't want to do it. I'm not gonna do it. I will hold shit while people ask to take pictures with them because I am not cosplaying. That is not my bag. I love to go and people watch and buy shit and see the things, but I am not gonna play.
I was
But
thinking of
everybody I'm going with is gonna cosplay.
I was thinking about I was thinking about coming out to Phoenix for that for the driving over in May to go to that with you. Is it like close to my birthday weekend?
It's the Memorial Day weekend, dude. It's
It's
Friday,
like the
Saturday,
tw
Sunday,
it's like
and
the
then
tw
Memorial Day Monday.
Wow. If we don't go anywhere for that weekend, I'm
Well,
coming up for a day for that.
here's the other thing that could
So it's
entice you
like
to come.
20th, 21st, 22nd.
No, it's the weekend after that. Oh, it's the
Oh.
weekend after Memorial Day then, because the Memorial Day is the 21st. When's Memorial Day?
Let me look here. 20 the 30th.
Yeah, but
So
so it's
it's
26th, 27th, 27th, 28th, 29th May.
27, 28, 29th. Got
So another good thing about that weekend, which I am super duper hype, the
it.
Jack White concert is May 28th, Saturday night.
Ooh.
Gotta buy tickets for that too.
Ha.
That is a weekend excursion. I love that synergy.
Get your dude, get your rooms. It's in, I mean, the Jack White concert is in Federal Theater in downtown Phoenix.
Yeah.
Look into rooms right now because every hotel in
Okay.
downtown Phoenix is going to be packed with conventioneers. So if you
Right.
want to
God,
stay
that
downtown,
weekend is
get
gonna
your
be
rooms
brutal
now.
downtown Phoenix.
Is that what?
Jeez.
Oh, they shut down streets. It's
Is
awesome. It
yeah.
is
is
it
so
the
fun.
convention center? Is the Fan Fest in the convention center? Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah,
Oh
yeah.
my God, that's gonna be epic.
We've
Mm-hmm.
got I've gone to the Phoenix I fe I've gone to the Phoenix one a couple times, and like I used to go to the one that was way out in Mesa
We
years
went together
ago.
one time,
There
yeah.
was
I
like
went.
two it was like 200 people, and it was like a dozen tables. That's what it came from, and it was just like nerds, sweaty, real nerds. That's
Oh, wait. Are you saying the people aren't real nerds?
I'm not saying anything about that. I'm not saying
Dude.
like unless you're wearing sweatpants and you didn't shower in the last 3 days, you're not a
Yeah.
real comp book fan.
Level
Not
zero.
you're not a real fan, you know?
We have to have a new scale for what are the levels of Comic-Con attendee.
Oh,
Comic-Con
sure.
attendee.
Oh,
Yeah.
well,
Comic-Con.
I mean, you gotta put like
What's the level five?
you guys hold on. Like, this is
Mm-hmm.
something you guys should absolutely work out as to whether or not you want to come,
Well,
yes,
I could just
before the
sleep
weekend.
in your office that weekend, right?
Well, the wrinkle of that is we're probably going to get a hotel room for Saturday night because we're going to go to all 3 days and
Patrick.
we're going to go to the I'm going to the concert Saturday night.
Patrick, you can stay with me. Let's talk about this because I'll get a hotel room downtown Phoenix
I might be
over
able to
over.
be convinced to because I'm still on the and now I have like a mission whenever I go to cons is like finding the rare D&D stuff because there is so much like there's only a couple of companies that make minis, and then when I went to this LA con, I was finding like custom printed stuff. That was like a mini that only like one of them exists, and this guy like sculpted it. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, Yeah, I have like a mission and finding cool dice because I have a dice addiction. So, like
I want a giant dragon. I'm in a dragon fetish these days.
Have you seen my big dragon?
I need a super incredible dragon sculpture. I need that.
Hold on. Have I shown you this? Hold on. Hannah got me this from her movie. It was a prop in her movies.
Oh, damn, dude. Yeah, oh, that's cool.
Well, look at the size of it. I mean, a mini is like this.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Is it enormous?
I want something that's double that size.
I mean, this is the size. This is like the huge, like, sorry, all you podcast listeners that can't see it, but this is the base on this thing is like 20 feet. You know, it's the radius of it or whatever, but it's 20 feet. It's the base is four inches or four squares. Yeah. So
Ashton also is.
Wait a second.
Oh yeah, that's from Game of Thrones. That's like
it's Drogon.
Yeah,
I got it from the Eagle Moss website.
I need to get some dragons.
Yeah,
figures.
Yeah,
yeah. No, her entire office is decorated like Game of Thrones. But this thing is.
I need to get some dragons.
That's pretty cool.
This thing is cool, and it's got like the cool base or whatever. And
yeah, I mean that could. I mean, it's got that round base that could function as a D&D mini. Absolutely. Is that made of resin or is it plastic?
It's like a. I mean, it's.
Is it heavy? Is it heavy or is it light?
It's light.
Okay, so it's probably like.
I forget what the specs on, but I mean, it feels it's quality, dude. It feels quality.
Oh, that's awesome! That's so cool. Yeah.
I ordered. So check this out. The only bad thing I have to say about this website is I pre-ordered something this size.
Yeah.
Rocinante from The Expanse.
Oh, sure.
Ordered that a month before Christmas.
Oh, geez.
Still hasn't arrived.
Wow.
The ETA keeps getting pushed. They're telling me now that it's April. I want the Rocinante. That's like the Millennium Falcon, the Starship Enterprise, and the Rocinante. Like eventually I will have.
So we haven't really talked about, you're bringing up something that I'm remembering. I'm loving this conversation because the end of the Expanse series happened and we never talked about it. Like, what did you think of the end of the series? Because we all watched all the seasons, right? Like, we were into it, and we've read at least I've read most of the books.
All the books,
right?
The book series is done. The only thing that I have to say, I mean, the episodes were tremendous. The six episodes they did,
right?
The final season six were wonderful.
Yeah.
As a person who's read the books, and I read them years ago, so I don't remember exactly what happens and what they abbreviated and what they didn't. It felt a tiny bit rushed because
it did feel rushed. Yeah.
But quality of the stories they did focus on, I mean, it's fantastic.
What
such good science fiction.
As I haven't gotten that far in the books. What is the whole subplot that has no resolution with the little girl on the planet that is never. It never is resolved in the show, and they don't even like explain it. And
that is purely, here's my theory, and I hope I'm right. That is the book series shifts entirely to that being the focal point of the entire series. Yep. Laconia becomes the center of gravity for the series instead of the solar system, and so what that is teeing up subsequent movies in the universe.
Is Amazon going to make?
I hope so. I think that's a planting the seed for subsequent 2-hour movies.
I would watch them.
I'm hoping.
Even if we can't get the actors back, but maybe they can get like this side, these movies that are set in the universe.
The only problem with adapting, because for me, how I categorize the Expanse book series, it's a trilogy of trilogies. Like there's the first three books, the second three books, and the third three books that tell distinct stories. The third which just wrapped up, the entire 9-book series wrapped up. There's a, and you learn this in the first 10 pages of the book, so it's not a huge spoiler. There is a very large time jump. And it's still the same characters, but they're beyond middle age. Like, obviously, a couple hundred years in the future, human life is extended through all kinds of means. People are living different lives, and they're staying active later in life.
Everybody's old.
Everybody's near, like, retirement age, more or less. Like, they want to stop being a for-hire ship and, like, slow down. And then shit gets crazy, and they have to get back into things. But there's that would be a difficult, like, thing to kind of make narratively make sense for TV, because Stephen Strait is 40, and to have the time jump to where he's 70.
This is why I think it'll be movies, because it's relatively easier. It's easier to age people.
Yeah. Do you think they'd recast him as like an older actor, or they try to age him up with makeup?
They'll age him up.
I hope you're right, because honestly, like, I did enjoy the last season. I am a fan from the beginning of the show. I think it's good sci-fi, and there's not very good sci-fi going on right now in television, and so it's like it was one of the better shows for sure.
In my mind, I mean, beyond Star Trek, because Star Trek is its own thing now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like you can't compare it to other stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, the Expanse is Battlestar Galactica. Like, those are the two best sci-fi series ever made. Like, that is the conversation.
Right.
That we're dealing with right now, is the quality of that show is, like, Battlestar Galactica level.
Yep.
So, I was very happy with how they wrapped it up. I was sentiment. There were very intense, and I've been responding to very kind of, like, intense hero moments in media lately. Like, there was parts during the Batman where I was just like, you felt yourself kind of like, there was the moment in that last episode, there's a Bobby Draper moment where it's like, she is a fucking superhero, and mm-hmm. I love it. Like, it's amazing.
She does some really cool stuff in the end of the suit.
And you're just like, you're right there in it, and it's visceral.
The whole scene where they're assaulting the station on, and they're just shooting at them. I thought they're all dead. Like, I was like, they're gonna kill them all. Like, this is the end of the series. Like, how do they survive this? Because it's like
you felt the jeopardy the whole.
They're going down. Like, they're definitely going down. And, you know, not having read the books, I was like, dude, this is where they barely get by, and Holden's the only one left alive. Like, that's what's about to happen. It's just like, Jesus.
The books, the third trilogy, they wrapped up as well this year, and I finished it, and I was happy with the resolution. It's a little, it becomes less grounded for me in, because they start to deal with some really big ideas and big threats.
Yeah.
And it becomes universe, rather than just the planet to planet squabbles, it becomes we're fighting for the survival of the universe.
The ship to ship science always made sense. Movement in space always made sense. The final trilogy, the final few books, really steps into some high, hard science fiction.
High conceptual stuff.
High conceptual science fiction. Yeah.
And it left me behind a little bit. I still went with it because I love the characters and I want to see how it works out. But the threat was such like a massive, like, we're legitimately, they characterize it in a way to make it make sense to the characters, like, we're literally trying to assault Mount Olympus with a bow and arrow, essentially. You know, they're trying to figure, that's the level that they're dealing with now. It's like, we're fighting Zeus and we have a bow and arrow, you know.
Yeah.
Try to figure out how that makes sense. Like, that's the way to get, it becomes to conceptualize it, you know.
I mean, I loved it because they've been teeing it up, and it becomes truly an alien story. Yes. Whereas the first 6 books were alien tech, how do humans deal with alien tech? It's all about the natural human responses to brand new technology and unique opportunities for power and wealth and all of that, right? And human beings will be human. And so that's that was the beauty of those first six books. And then 7, 8, and 9 is all about consequences and big reveal associated with messing with things you don't understand. And that's why I love the series, because that is a true arc about humans' approach to the unknown. And the initial response to all of those things that are the unknown is, how do we exploit this? How do we use it for our own benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And either good or ill. How do we figure that out? And so the writers of those books got it exactly right, because that's exactly how humanity would respond. Oh. It's going to solve problems or have an opportunity to give me power and wealth.
Yep.
Then in books 7, 8, and 9, it's all about a couple people perfecting, okay, I figured out exactly how to use this. And then on the undercurrent of it all is that you're messing with shit you don't understand. And all of that comes home to roost in the final book. And the resolution is elegant and sad and poignant and wonderful.
So, yes, I agree with everything. I agree with everything Chris saying. And another theme that gets built, and has, because it's a constant kind of like struggle to understand ourselves. So that it gets resolved in some ways, but it doesn't. It's like, are humans worth saving?
Right.
It poses that question directly.
Even better question is asked in that last book. You're exactly right, Andrew. Are we worth it? Yep.
Are we worth it? Is everything we're doing, everything we're sacrificing, are we worth it? Like, should we have a future? And there's questions get asked, and they resolve it in a reasonably satisfying way, because you can't completely answer that question, because people have to answer that question for themselves every single day.
It's very heady. That sounds really good, and I definitely should finish that series now that the show's over.
You should.
I feel like we should do a short segment to like finish this off of like an oldie but goodie, Seen Red Played. Give me a breakdown, each of you, something that you're watching right now, something that you're reading right now, and something that you're playing right now, and just talk about it for a minute. Like,
I love it.
So, Andrew, what, like, sorry to put you on the spot. If you need a second, like, do you have a Seen Red play that you could talk about for a couple?
Yeah, I got a few. Ashton and I are watching a few things. I have started season 2 of Picard.
Oh yeah.
I love Picard. I love the character. I love Patrick Stewart. So I will watch Picard.
How many episodes are they into it?
2.
And what are you thinking compared to season 1?
I think it's gonna be an interesting adventure, because I think they're focusing more on the adventure aspect and putting Picard in. It's gonna more. Hopefully, it becomes more of that. And I think there might be a little bit more mystery than the first one, or a more coherent mystery.
Yeah.
So
damn, good. Season 1. Really left a bad taste in my mouth. Like I don't know if I could come back. I don't know if I want to give them my money.
Give it a shot.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give you my login for CB. I'm allowed to have multiple profiles. I bought a Paramount Plus because the Halo TV series starts in 11 days.
Okay.
I will be watching that as well.
I mean, so that is a show that they could absolutely screw up. Because I feel like the Halo lore needs to be done.
I am a lore guy. I have read the Halo novels.
Here's what I'll say, how they do the Halo correctly. You need good action. Because the games are intense. And they really set stuff up. And they really are make you feel. They need to make an action movie level Halo show. That is like really good, and if it's boring, man.
It's gonna be trouble.
It's gonna be.
Watching season 2 of Picard. Ashton and I actually really love a show on HBO called The Gilded Age.
Oh, sure.
It's historical fiction set in 1880s New York.
This is the Downton Abbey creators.
So it's
a Downton sort of movie.
In New York City.
In New York City. Yeah.
Pure like rom-com kind of rom-com, but very romantic and very earnest. Also, it's got some wit, and it's got some interesting, like, American history beats to it. Like, the last episode, they had the real-life event of Thomas Edison electrifying part of New York and how that was, like, a society event.
Yeah.
And how people described it, how they literally were living in this moment where they saw their life and their world change.
Yeah.
And, like, showing that on screen. And Carrie Coon is the lead in it, and I'll watch her do anything. She's fantastic. So that is a show we're loving right now. So those are two things that we're watching. We've seen those two things. I've been playing Halo Infinite. I haven't picked it up in about a month, but I played through the initial parts of the campaign, and it feels great. Feels like a Halo game. I love it. Ashton, I'll say this, I bought her a Switch because she hasn't been gaming at all. So it's just like, I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to buy her a Switch. Yeah. She has been nonstop playing Zelda Breath of the Wild.
The Breath of the Wild is...
on handheld. She's been handhelding it, dude. She's not even on the TV. She sits on the couch. I watch TV. I'm whatever. And she's playing Breath of the Wild on her handheld.
She is
loving it.
Breath of the Wild is, of the past 5 years, is, like, top 10 games, absolutely. Like, it is one of the greatest games of that generation by far.
So she's loving. I gotta pick up Halo again. Once Halo co-op campaign drops, I think that drops in like a month, Chris and I will run that hardcore. My favorite gaming memory ever is playing through the original Halo Combat Evolved with Chris on the original Xbox, so we'll play that for sure.
Nice.
Red.
What are you even reading?
I have not been reading much, to be completely honest. Nothing like jumps out at me. I mean, I finished the Expanse book series, but that was last fall.
Do you have anything that you're like wanting to read or looking forward to that you're about to start, maybe?
Well, not for the new book. So the detective series written by Robert Galbraith, Strike. That there's another novel coming out in August.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, which, yeah, she's kind of terrible, but I love her writing, so...
She's kind of terrible, man.
She's kind of got some really shitty beliefs.
Yeah.
So, I have to... It's daily kind of reconcile because I love Harry Potter. Harry Potter is still a very big part
of the end of me. That's the problem, is like, Orson Scott Card says some stupid shit, and I love Orson Scott Card's writing, and he said some stupid shit, and I had to walk away, man.
Trying to divest the art from the artist is like a daily struggle.
That is the eternal tension.
Yeah. So a book that I'm looking forward to, and I'm actually looking forward to the Fantastic Beasts movie that comes out.
Oh yeah, I mean, those two movies are real bad, but they're still Harry Potter universe movies.
Yeah.
So they're fun for just that. They're fun for.
I mean, what's really gonna suck is if like tomorrow George Lucas comes out and he's like, "I'm a Nazi." How am I gonna deal with that? Like,
my
entire core will like collapse on itself.
It's so far away from like what he has contributed to the movies by now that it's sort of like, I mean, he did invent a lot of this shit, but I mean, they are on another level now. Anyways, let's keep this ball moving. Christopher, seen red played.
Two things. We watched The Adam Project last night.
Oh, we're about to watch that.
I'm going to watch that hopefully.
I will watch Ryan Reynolds pick his teeth with a knife.
Pretty much.
That dude is super compelling. Adam Project is an entertaining film that will make you tear up for sure. So it's a father-son movie, it's entertaining. I'll leave it at that. So definitely check that out, because Ryan Reynolds and the kid who plays young Ryan Reynolds is awesome. I am also harkening back to the Star Trek stuff. I fell off of Star Trek Discovery because I could not stand Michael Burnham as a character.
God, that is my problem with that show.
She was so unlikable as a character that I stopped watching purely because of her and a couple of other the characters. The Spore Drive guy, very unlikable characters, right?
Everybody's very abrasive.
Everybody's freaking abrasive.
Yeah.
A guy that I work with, we share a Star Trek fandom. He said something about watching Discovery, and he was watching season 4, and he and I got back to talking, and so that spurred me to power through and finish season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, and it continues to be super angsty, and Michael Burnham, oh, so emoting all the time. It's freaking exhausting.
Yeah.
However, the tale improves, and the storytelling.
I watched season 2 as well, but like a couple years ago. I think it was a COVID watch for me.
Yeah.
And I powered through season 2. It's an interesting arc, at least in season 2, with Pike being in the show. Pike is an interesting character to watch.
Yeah. Well, and they're doing a spin-off. What's that called?
I will watch Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds. Yeah.
I love Anson.
I just started season 3. I'm 3 episodes into Star Trek Discovery season 3.
Okay.
What I'm reading is I just finished a book club book. So now I'm going to start up with, I got about, I don't know, 12 to 15 episodes or issues into Saga.
Ah, it's really good.
Yeah, I loved it. And then I fell off, probably because I was moving and lots of reasons, right? And so I was in comic book shop the other day, and they have a Saga collected work that is the first, like, 54 issues.
It's really good.
I bought that, and I'm going to read that.
I've read most of that, I would say, and I sort of fell off because I feel like it sort of like meanders a lot, and I wasn't reading it religiously to stay in it. But like, man, I would say the first 50 issues are like really good. I think I read until that point. So
I bought the collected, and I think it's through issue 54 or 50, wherever they did a cutoff of the first like series.
Very very adult sci-fi, to push to the limit, but not in like a harsh way, like sort of done for laughs and ridiculousness.
I enjoy the sense of humor, I enjoy the stories. I'm excited about restarting that and working my way through that. And played is I am Halo Infinite. I'm about 65%, 70% through the campaign. I did the entire season 1 battle pass. I capped out at 100 in the season 1 battle pass. Nice. I finished it.
How many multiplayer matches is that? I mean, did you play hundreds of matches?
I don't know about hundreds, but a lot. And I did not pay for skipping 20 or anything like that. I played it. And I also have the full suit of, I capped out the samurai event. It's called Tenrai. I capped out that. I have all of that. Nice. So I played a shit ton of multiplayer, which was super fun, actually. Contrary to what Twitter might have to say about it. But, you know.
Everybody.
Competitive
fuck
players
social
still,
media. Fuck it.
They're so pissed off that
I hate. I have muted. I have anyone Royale. Who criticizes it. I mute them. So
everybody
anything
wants a Halo Battle Royale. Everybody.
If you enjoy playing a game, just shut up and let people have fun playing a game. That goes for across the board with everyone. If they're enjoying it, just let them enjoy it. Like, yeah.
So anyway, I have loved it, and my KD ratio is not bad, actually. So it's not like elite level, but it's over 1. So
there you go.
I'm pleased with that. I'm hanging with the 14 and 15 year old.
Nice. And the pro guys that are trying to qualify today for the Halo Invitational or whatever.
Oh, and damn, yeah.
I get Xbox channel alerts.
It's very satisfying. It's very satisfying because I'm getting better at it. It's very satisfying to know the maps and to and I'm also playing Elden Ring. That game is I have a Series X. That game is stunningly beautiful.
Correct.
And it is the hardest game I've ever, like, really, truly committed to playing.
Yeah.
And it is it is challenging and frustrating and super awesome. So I'm loving it, although it's daunting as hell. So, mm-hmm. but I don't have the time or the energy to do what I did in gaming 30 years ago or even 20 years ago. But I'm gonna play it at my pace. It's so big that I could probably play it for another couple years.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is.
You can't no life a game anymore. You can't poop sock that thing.
Yeah,
I can't poop sock it.
I wish I would absolutely. I'm not in the poop sock life anymore, but I can still play it more than you, I think, Christopher. For now, at least. but playing Elden Ring. I would like to piggyback on that. I'm having a lot of fun with that. I would say it's not easier than Dark Souls, but it's more forgiving. So it's like there's more save points. There are more ways where it's like it's not so brutal to you. Like the enemies are not so like, but it's still hard. It's still the same level of like. A one little foot soldier can get you. Like you've been playing for forever, and you run around, and one little foot
can kill you.
Yes, yeah. Still, like you'd be running around, and you think you're awesome, and you've done it, and then you get ganked in the back by a guy with a spear.
Yeah. Idiotic goblin in a cave can kill you, and you're a badass.
The bane of my existence is still the stone goblin guys that like you go into the catacombs and those guys are just hanging out. They blend in with the stone of the catacombs. Those guys, F those guys so much. Like those yes. I've never felt so angry at like an NPC in my life.
Here's the beauty of this, dude. I died so many times on those demi-human two boss fight, right?
Yeah.
You have to get through a gauntlet. And I kept dying, and then what the game does is amazing because I had like I don't know 7,000 runes. It's like I need to save all my runes because I have to level up intelligence so I can get the Knight of Sword and Fire, right? Or the Sword of Knight and Fire, right? And so I have to, and so all of those runes are precious, and so you have to plan to recover them before you die again. It's so stressful because you have to run the gauntlet, you got to run into the room, you got to get your runes back, and then I die again.
Now we know we can stream on through Discord. I want to watch you guys struggle with your asses.
It is so stressful. It is so stressful.
We can stream through. Are you playing it on what, Patrick?
Xbox.
Xbox, yeah.
We can stream through the Xbox.
We should stream through Xbox. And
all right.
We can, Patrick. We should watch you and comment.
Okay.
And you guys,
100%.
I can't be any fun to watch. But we could watch you, Patrick.
Oh, I mean, I have been playing way too much, and I love it. But this is like literally what I'm. Just to piggyback on what you said. This is Skyrim level big. Like, it is on and side quests.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours. And it goes, I mean, it goes on and on. And I've just been having fun doing every little thing and trying every little thing and going to the places, reading about, oh, there's this talisman in this catacombs. Okay.
There's so many complicated systems for it.
So you could go on and on and on and on and on and finding that one spell. I'll spend 3 hours trying to track down this one spell that I can't use just because like I might be able to use it in the future. Shit like that.
I bought all three of those dragon incantations. From the Church of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Because I had dragon hearts in my inventory because I went to the other place and did the thing to get some dragon hearts, not realizing that, oh, you could buy those. And of course, now I have to level up my arcane so I can breathe dragon fire on people. I need to be able to breathe dragon fire on people.
Pro tip. There's a rot breath head that you can get in the next area. That is the most powerful dragon ability. You can you poison them and then their health is just dotting away. Okay. You'll use it every boss fight. Sorry.
As you guys tend to do, you're in the weeds.
Sorry. I just had to say get the rot one as soon as you can. You'll use it every boss fight and you will win. That is very good. Okay, so I just had to say that. Okay, so that's my plate, obviously. And then Red, right now I'm reading, I've been really loving history books on my Audible lately. So I am reading How the Crusades Changed History, and I'm almost done with it. Fascinating book. I love the Crusades. I love medieval stuff. It's a great filter for my Dungeons and Dragons, all these like sects of knights, all these like how this started, how that started, who's like why they sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say for another book on the Crusades that I read years ago, it's called Warriors of God. And it juxtaposes Richard the Lionheart and Saladin, becomes the, the emir of the Khalifa or the whatever. It juxtaposes them as like central characters. It is a great history book of the Crusades.
Well, what you're talking about is like the snapshot of like the Third and Fourth Crusades, I want to say. It's like the end of the
story that over a snapshot of like the 10 years of Richard's Crusade.
Yeah.
It tells an ultra dense story of it.
The king of Jerusalem dies from leprosy, and then Saladin, in the chaos of losing control of the knights and not having good leaders and sending the army out to fight him in the desert, that all happened. And then they all dying out in the desert, and then Jerusalem being taken from them, and then Richard the Lionheart wanting to retake Jerusalem. Fascinating story. And then if you're connecting anything, if you remember Richard Lionheart is the one who's out of town while Robin Hood is having to do all his stuff. There's all these like really cool connective tissues and stories. And so it's great. It's great. Like Dungeons and Dragons fodder in my brain. And every time I'm listening to it, I'm writing something down like, okay, that's like a cool storyline or that's like a cool idea. So anyways, that's what I'm reading. I'm almost done with the first book, but they're talking about the Eighth and Ninth Crusades right now that are just like a mess. Like it just really gets off the rails, eventually. And it's less about going to Jerusalem, more about like calling yourself a crusader and then just like fighting racism. Basically, it's like they're being racist and fighting for God. So they're definitely that.
There's a point during the Crusades where the Pope said that killing a Muslim wasn't actually a sin.
Yeah, like not murder. Not
considered murder.
Yeah.
If you go and you crusade and you kill Muslims, you're not actually committing a sin.
There's some dark shit that white people were doing back then for sure. So there's a lot of that. But it's a fascinating time and. It's a good book.
Western Europeans, dude. They West, shit up for dude, meals everywhere.
I mean, for hundreds of years. Like it's
still feeling the ramifications of that shit.
Still dealing with the I mean, they're talking about Jerusalem and Palestine and all that stuff, and it's like, dude, that is still going on.
It's a thousand years later.
Yes, 1,000 years later, literally 1,000 years, and they're still happening. The only couple things I want to talk about with scene are Hannah and I are watching this show called Archive 81 that we finished. I will say The first four episodes are kind of slow but interesting, and the last four are pretty good. So if you can get through the first four, it's a good like horror, like interesting premise, kind of a like found footage but not found footage. Like they show the found footage, but then they like show them doing the stuff without the camera. So it's interesting. A little bit of that. It's got an interesting idea. So if you're like horror, like I do, you'll like that. And then we're watching a show called Ghosts on HBO Max. It's a BBC show. There's an American version. So if you're thinking I'm watching that, I'm not. I'm watching the BBC version. It is hilarious. Absolutely so funny. Neurotic ghosts that live in this like mansion, and they've all died from different eras, so they all have like these weird overlapping personalities. You know, it's a half an hour long short season, 6-episode season that the BBC does, but they season 2 is gold, like comedy laugh out loud gold. So like give it a watch. The premise is brilliant. The idea and you just worth it. Okay. What, and that's about it, I think. And so I think we should probably stop there. We kind of,
yeah,
this is a good place to come back. You don't have any trivia, Andrew.
I don't have any trivia. I will do it next week after Patrick watches the Batman.
We will do an entire episode on the Batman next time.
I need to go see the Batman. I've been falling behind. So we will talk about, we'll do a Batman one shot next. We're back, everybody. We're back. You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek at twitter.com, and then brothersgeek.com, and Spotify, Brothers Geek Podcast, iTunes, Brothers Geek Podcast. We're on Twitch, that I might be playing some Elden Ring if you want to watch that. Brothers Geek Played.
You should tweet that out on the Twitter, Patrick, when you're going to broadcast on Twitch.
I'll play, and you guys could watch me die. You could watch me die for sure. It's brutal. So I will absolutely do that. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and
save the world, get vaccinated.
Truth.